Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Recently, I read a message that was all too typical of the modern church, and I'm not here to condemn so much as to hopefully instruct by the Word of God the absolute solution and victory that the Lord has provided for His body. Remember, whatsoever is born of God overcomes everything that ails the believer, that would be sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And that would include obeying the Son of God and his cross message to us, that is, to live a crucified life. In fact, Galatians 5:24 says that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Let me read that to you. After listing the 17 soul-damning sins, or 17 of the soul-damning sins, and then the fruit of the Spirit, the Apostle Paul says in verse 24 of Galatians 5, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, notice here that the definition of a true disciple of Jesus is innate in verse 24. It is someone who is crucified with Christ. The flesh, the deeds of the body, the sinful deeds of the body, Romans 6 and 7, are crucified. Notice, and they that are Christ, this is how we find out if we're truly Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So it's an absolute done deal. You are not making any excuse for sin. You are saying with the Apostle Paul that I am, earlier in this book, chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, someone might say they have faith, but if they're not in obedience to the Lord, they don't have saving faith. Saving faith always obeys and puts God first, not self. So they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. They are living in the Spirit. Any unrepentant counterfeit can go on the PMA, or positive mental attitude kick, and even do the biblical thing of renewing the mind. But I can tell you by experience, and first and most important, by the Word of God, that renewing your mind is not going to work if you are not crucified with Christ. Foundationally, in your walk with God, you must be denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. In fact, that's the only way to follow our Lord Jesus, according to His own word, Luke 9:23 and 24, etc. I want to encourage you to read through the Gospels again and take Jesus at His word. Okay, so even renewing the mind, and that's biblical. Nothing much as far as victory is going to happen by just replacing the thoughts of your heart and the evil that has been put into your mind that you've allowed in your mind with the Word of God. That's important now. That's very important. And yet the Bible speaks, Jesus spoke of the weightier matters of the law. And let me go out and surmise that Jesus, his cross teaching is at the center of the original gospel and most important. In fact, if we're not denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily and following Jesus, it's a 100% sure conclusion and truth that we are not walking in the victory of God and we have sin in our lives. The only solution God gave for sin is the cross. First, the blood of his cross, and then he washes us clean initially, but he didn't die to allow us to go back into the sin that he cleansed initially. He gave us the cross message where we can deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus. And by the way, the cross isn't more self-effort. It's simply surrender of self. It's crying out with John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. John chapter 3, verse 3. And with the Lord Jesus, who in the Garden of Gethsemane surrendered afresh to the Father and said, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Are you willing to say that today, to lift your hands and heart to the Lord, beloved, and say, Lord, I give you my heart. There was a beautiful song in the past about that. Lord, I give you my life. Into your hands I commend my spirit. That's one of the things our Lord Jesus said at the end. Actually, that might have been the seventh thing that he said on the cross. Into thine hands I commend, or I submit my spirit. Are you willing to lift your hands today, beloved? Now, we're going to talk about the word in this hopefully short message, but nothing's going to happen in your life until you put the word to work, if you will. You actually obey God and bring it into prayer and say, Lord, right now into your hands, I submit my spirit, Lord. I lay my life in your hands, Lord, and I ask you to take it up, raise me up, Lord, and anoint me to be crucified with Christ from this moment forward until Jesus comes to get his body. All right, so renewing the mind, as I said earlier, is biblical, and yet it's not going to take you very far. It's not going to lead you to victory over sin if you aren't crucified with Christ. Anyone offering you a quote-unquote solution for overcoming sin, and it's not the biblical message of the cross, is in the very least, my friend, wasting your time. And you're wasting your time and God's time by even entertaining such. Remember the cross at all times, my friends. If you are like myself, you realize on a constant basis, in a regular way, even though it's a steady, fixed thing in our lives, we've got to understand that if we're not dying downward, Christ is not raising us upward, and we're not being raised up by the grace and power of God into the victory of Christ and overcoming sin. Now, this does not mean that renewing our mind by the Word of God isn't important, yet the cross life is the key, the cause, and the foundation of all victory in Christ's kingdom as we submit to God in the crucified life and he raises us upward into his victory. The Bible says in Isaiah 37:31 that the remnant of Christ's elect, they're taking root downward. That's how we know who they are, just like we read in Galatians 5:24. They are crucified with Christ. They are putting to death the deeds of the body. And in Isaiah 37:31, it says, the remnant are taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. They're taking root downward. That's the death and burial. And they're being raised up into good holiness and into holiness and bearing fruit to the glory of God. Remember, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Apostle Paul speaks of the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that raised up Jesus from the dead will also quicken or make alive and raise us up also as we're crucified with Christ. And remember, friends, before we read this verse, that God's not going to raise me up and he's not going to raise you up if we're still alive in our own power and we haven't surrendered our will to Him, saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. We all have a will. Jesus in the flesh had a will, but He said, not my will, but thine be done. And that's what you and I need to say. Lord, not my will. I want your will to be done, Lord. Your will, not mine. That's the surrender of the cross right there. Notice Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or raise up, make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, friends, I want you to get a picture of this through the scriptures. Notice verse 12, Romans 8, continuing on for a few verses here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Notice, if ye, brethren, live after the flesh, you shall die. If you hearken to and live in sin, you're going to die. You're going to be separated from God. But if ye through the Spirit, notice, ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So what we just read there is the Holy Spirit is there as we surrender to give us the divine power to mortify the deeds of the body. And then we shall live. There's the resurrection. We shall have resurrection life in Christ. And then verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And my friend, I want to tell you that if you're not being led to and you're not taking up the cross daily, denying yourself and living a crucified life, you are not being led of the Spirit, no matter what else that you think indicates that you are. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, the Apostle Paul in this monumental passage on the cross says this in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Notice, always bearing about. It's a perpetual thing, the crucified life. And as long as we are crucified with Christ, He is raising us upward into His victory. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Notice the great exchange here. As we die downward, the life also of Jesus is made manifest in our body. I don't know about you, beloved. I'm assuming that many of you are growing in Christ and learning the cross life. And it's just amazing. Today, I was in a supermarket and this one guy who's just an older guy, just wonderful conversation with him about the Lord and the product I was looking for. And then this young man comes around the corner, just a precious young man, probably around 20 years old. And man, I just started ministering to him. It was like the Holy Ghost was all over that. I didn't even have time to get in the way. You know what I mean? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? And that's why I want to be crucified, because Todd can get in the way and mess everything up. And the good news is that Todd's life can be vanquished and Christ can raise that life up, even mine, even yours, for His glory. So this guy comes around the corner and I just immediately, him and I looked each other in the face and we started smiling and I just started ministering to him. I didn't have time to think about it. It was had to be the Holy Spirit in Spanish. He was a Spanish-speaking young man, all of them were. And I was able to tell him, and my Spanish is just getting started, but I was able to communicate to him that the Lord will wash us by His precioso sangre, the blood of Jesus, la sangre de Jesus. He will wash us clean in His precious blood and give us a new life. And it just was with such joy. And I shared with him that God did that for me when I was about his age, and He wants to do that for him. And I told him that it's not about religion, but it's about relationship. No religion, it's about relationship. A relationship in Spanish. And so this guy, I mean, it was 100% the Holy Spirit working. And so this is what's going to happen on a regular basis as we're crucified with Christ. We're going to be living an adventure that we never thought was possible and that we can't even envision until it begins to happen. And it's only going to begin to happen in Christ, as you're raised up by Christ, because you're saying, Lord, not my will anymore. I want you to reign on the throne of my heart. Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Lord, I love you, Jesus, and I'm asking you to help me love you more, oh God, and to get out of the way and anoint me to the death and burial of self so that you can reign on the throne of my heart and in this body, and you can do your will through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Then verse 11, 2 Corinthians 4, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Lots of persecution going on, and if you're not being persecuted, you ought to be concerned, because there might be a big problem there as far as you even being saved. Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. They're not persecuting you, they're talking well about you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. All right, that is Luke chapter 6, verse 26, I believe it is, and also 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So Paul says, verse 11, 2 Corinthians 4, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. See, so God puts us in situations, and then it's the life of Jesus that manifests in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So there's the cross, and this is the key to victory. It's also the key, we see right here, to ministry. Everyone that's born again desires to help others to grow in their relationship with Christ, the saints, and also to help sinners be saved. If you don't have that desire, my friend, I want to encourage you to get on your face before God and repent and get saved. Verse 12, it's just amazing how many times people can argue that they go to church and you should go to church every Sunday. All they're doing is echoing, they're parroting the sales pitch of their phony pastor. All I do, as I was sharing with a brother recently, or sister, is I simply start asking questions. I try to be real nice about it and say, you know, hey man, let me ask something. Is your pastor, you know, preaching the cross, the crucified life? Now, let me just tell you right now, every time the person that was trying to sell me on going to church, their jaw drops. It gets completely quiet. You're the only one talking. And I just ask them simple biblical questions to test the fruit of their fellowship, which I'm not interested in finding out about or going to. I'm not telling them that, but I'm trying to help them realize that they're a church member. They're not a disciple. They're not learning about the crucified life. Their pastor, that means, is the enemy of the cross of Christ, according to Philippians 3, 18 and 19. He's not crucified with Christ himself. If he was, he'd be preaching this cross message to the people. And so also I'll ask them things like, is your pastor preaching on repentance? Is he preaching on what the Bible calls sin and the danger of being in hell forever if you die in sin? Is he teaching judgment to come? Is he preaching the holiness of God and that God commanded that we be holy as he is holy, et cetera, et cetera? And so I give them a few examples for them to think about. And they, from that moment on, without exception, they never invite me to their church again. Let me give you a quote here I saw today that I just absolutely love by my favorite professor in the country, and that would be Dr. Thomas Sowell, S-O-W-E-L. He said this, when you want to help people, you tell them the truth. When you want to help yourself, you tell them what they want to hear, unquote. And that's exactly what's going on in these fake churches, which makes up probably 99% of them. And more people are finding that out. It's amazing. Let me just say this before we continue with this cross message. Jesus didn't come and die for you to save you so that you can go park yourself in some stupid little church building every Sunday morning and sing in the choir and be a member basically of a clown show and a country club. That was never God's design, but enterprising, deceitful, greedy wolves, as we read about in 2 Peter 3, where they make merchandise of the people by their false gospel that they preach, have come and have corrupted corralled, if you will, and cornered the gullible. Some of them are Christians that don't yet see what's happening, but others are unrepentant. They realize there's no fruit in their life that proves that they're a Christian. That's what I ask them to. I say, when is the last time you won somebody to Jesus? By the way, are you at least evangelizing? I try to be nice about it. And lately, I'm growing a little bit. Thank God. Thank God for the prayers of the saints. But they're not even evangelizing. The only thing they do is tell people, come to church and come see our stage show and Dancing Bear, Praise and Worship, and our little lukewarm message from a fake Bible. That's the extent of the Christianity, which is not Christianity at all. We have to be crucified with Christ. That's an irrefutable truth. Let me just say it again. If you're not crucified with Christ, that's why you're not overcoming all sin. And if you die in sin, you're going to hell. So the cross is the power generator truth of the true disciple. As he, you and I, are crucified with Christ, truly, the Holy Ghost is raising up our lives in resurrection, grace, power, and victory. And he is freeing us from all sin. I want you to read Romans chapter 6 each morning this week, my friend. God's solution to sin, his cure for the curse of sin, and 100% victory is the cross. Not only Christ, the blood of Christ's cross, Colossians 1:20, but the crucified life cross in your life on a daily basis, and there is no shortcuts. So recently, I read a message from a pastor who is talking about overcoming sin, but yet he never even mentioned the cross, not even a hint of the cross. So renewing our minds, he spoke about. And yes, that's biblical. And yet the cross is central to the divine message of salvation and walking with Jesus and being his through the blood of his cross and also the mandate he gave us to live the crucified life. God's only solution to sin is the cross of Christ, and then obeying Christ by living the cross life, the crucified life. Romans 6, also Colossians 3:3 says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I want you to memorize that. Also, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, etc. And there are many other scriptures on the cross. In fact, we have three books on the cross to help believers to learn the cross life. This is Bible, friends. This isn't anything else but Bible, and it's just mountains of scripture on the cross life. One of those books is called I Die Daily. Another one's called Raised Up. And the third one is called 31 Cross Prayers, where you pray, if you like, each morning of the month. There's a prayer that you're going to be submitted to Christ through the cross life. And let me guarantee you this from the Bible, first of all, the final divine authority of the Bible, but also from a personal experience. Friends, I never started getting any traction or overcoming sin until I began to learn the message of the cross, the Bible message of the cross, which has virtually been completely missing from the professing church for the last several decades, which has given way to cause men in leadership to lead people into error and to be the enemies of the cross of Christ. And that their God is their belly. If you're not a man of the cross, you're full of self-love and all kinds of evil, and your God is your belly, your carnal appetites. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, where the Apostle Paul says this. He says, for many of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, they're going to hell, whose God is their belly, they live out of their own and for their own self-serving carnal appetites, and whose glory is in their shame. In other words, they glory in those things they should be ashamed of, who mind earthly things. Amen. They're not heavenly minded. They're carnally minded. They mind the things of the earth. For our conversation, that is, Paul and all believers is in heaven. We have an eternal perspective from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't live for the trinkets and the pleasures of this world. The Bible says, if any man loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. Verse 21, to finish this passage in Philippians 3, who shall change our vile body? Get a vision from the Bible here. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Amen. He's going to give us a new and eternal body. Let's wrap this up, friend. Let me remind you, there will be no victory until you truly repent afresh. You lay down your life in this world and you live the crucified life. There are no shortcuts. Again, this is what the Bible reveals, friends. Personally, I never, as I shared a minute ago, began to have any victory until I truly repented and began living the crucified life. Beloved, is the cross of Christ, his own crucifixion, and the one he commanded us to take up daily at the center of your life, at the center of the original gospel message that flows out of your life? Is it at the center? Is this cross message at the center of your fellowship that you go to? And most people think their fellowship is wonderful, but when you begin to question it, as we talked about earlier, they begin to realize that their fellowship just might not be that biblical. No such thing as a gospel. It's a false gospel if it's not got the blood of his cross at the middle of it. And second to that, if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. You got to live a crucified life. And when you start doing that, you're going to start tasting and seeing the goodness of the Lord in the victory of that resurrection life. And you're going to go like me, you're going to go, oh man, I was late to this party, but I'm so glad God had patience and mercy, and he showed me what he wanted me to know from his word, and continues to do so, especially in the central message of the cross of Christ. And now we see, now and only then will you begin to see the wisdom, the divine wisdom in the cross, to where you're not, as a Christian, having to try to overcome sin in the flesh. That's impossible. It's only by the cross, by a reenactment of Christ's cross when he died, was buried, and raised again 3 days later in complete victory. Your life as crucified with Christ daily is a reenactment of his death, burial, and resurrection. And that, right after we get saved with water baptism, is a figure of, it's you're going down in the water, down into death, dead and buried. And then when you come up, that's signifying the resurrection life of Christ that has now saved you, empowered you to live the crucified life, and caused you to walk in 100% victory over all sin. Friends, I'm glad we had this time together. I pray that God would imbue us with this message of the cross, and want to encourage you to absolutely camp out on this message. And let's go ahead and pray before we close. Let's pray a cross prayer together, beloved saints. And I'm going to pray this one right out of the 31 Cross Prayers book. The small book, it's all it consists of is each page of the very thin book has a scripture at the top, and then there's a prayer. And it's always a cross prayer on every page to help you live the crucified life. Amen. This happens to be day 26. I just randomly selected it. Here it is. You ready? Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating me to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to bless, serve, love, and edify others. Jesus, please make me an example of your holiness and humility. No one ever stooped lower than you, Lord, to save me and all people. You must increase, but I must decrease, Lord Jesus. Let me be truly crucified with Christ. I lay my life in your holy hands right here and now, this moment. Break me and mold me, Father, for your eternal glory. You are the potter and I am simply the clay. Grant me a heart of flesh, a humble, broken heart, and a servant's disposition in all things, no matter where you lead me. in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.